Welcome to the Love Your Launch podcast. I'm Tasha.
I'm Jayla Ray.
I'm Lindsay.
I'm Brianna.
And I'm Kara.
And by our powers combined, we are the Launch Guild. And you guessed it, we love launches.
But we know that not everyone is walking into their launches with a team of experts in their back pocket, and that can make launching
and all of the tech, marketing, strategy, and management of it feel a wee bit overwhelming.
So that's why we started this podcast, because our goal is to make you fall in love with launching, or at least not absolutely hate it.
We know that launches don't have to be awful or overwhelming. They can actually be fun and, dare we say, stress-free. And we know this to be true because over the last 4 years, we've helped our clients amass almost $10 million in launch revenue and do it with style and grace.
So if you're ready to fall in love with launching, or at least not hate it, then welcome to the Love Your Launch podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Love Your Launch podcast. Kara here, launch strategist for the Launch Guild, and I'm joined by Brianna, the lead marketing director, and Lindsay, our lead project manager. Hi, ladies.
Hello.
Today, we're going to be talking about our favorite launch tech tools. So pull out your pen and paper, because we're going to be dropping some names of tech things that maybe you haven't heard about before. So you'll want to write them down so you can refer and kind of check them out, Google them, and see which ones might be the best fit for you, for your launch, where you're at. We're going to talk about all the things today. So I'm super excited for this conversation, because I feel like there's so many options out there. It can feel really, really overwhelming with where you even start with all the things. Lindsay, I want to ask you, out of all those things that are out there, what do you need for your launch? How can we simplify it a little bit?
Yeah, that's a great question. And something that I think a lot of people get caught up in is like what pieces you need and what pieces are maybe extras for a launch. So there's really five things you need to fulfill, like five pieces of tech that you need to fulfill when it is coming time to launch your course or program. So you need something to hold your pages. So a page software or someplace that you can design web pages for your webinar registration page, your sales page, checkout pages. So you need a page software. You also need an email marketing program, someplace to send communications from, and a webinar software. So someplace that you can host your webinar, that people can join you when you are doing your live training. And then the other two pieces that you'll need is a cart software, somewhere where people can check out and pay you for your product, and then a way to deliver it. So some sort of course or program delivery software. So again, the five: page software, email marketing software, webinar software, cart software, and course delivery. So that's it. Those five are really what you have to have. Those are the must-haves.
Yes, that's perfect way to say it, is those are the must-haves. You can, there's going to be a lot of different bells and whistles that you think you have to add to things, but for a successful launch, those five things are really the necessities. So how do you pick and choose? How do you choose your tech stack? What, there's so many different tech options and programs and softwares. Brianna, how do you choose?
So to make it a little bit easier, we are going to dive into some of our favorite choices, but we still want you to be able to choose what's best for you, where you are in your business, where you are in your launch experience. So there's a couple things that you want to evaluate. One of the first things you want to think about is your audience size and projected revenue. For example, with picking a webinar software, if you have a large audience, you want to be looking for what are those different webinar plans that are going to accommodate a larger room size. But, you know, you're going through your first launch, you're only going to have a couple hundred people or less on your webinar. You really may not need any sort of fancy room software, any sort of fancy chat management. It's really not necessary for you to have a really good, amazing, interactive webinar. So those are the kind of things you want to evaluate. Then you want to think about long-term goals. So ideally, you want to pick a software that you can grow with a little bit or something that you can stick with a while. But at the same time, you might not want to pick something so advanced that you just don't feel ready for it, or you don't have enough experience with page software that you don't need it yet. For example, some of the software that we use has a ton of design options and all sorts of things that our designer can go in and customize. But if you don't have a designer on your team that's working on your pages, you're going to be looking for something that's really user-friendly, drag and drop, just simple options, maybe even looking for less design options so that you can get something clean and simple and done. At the end of the day, simple is probably best, especially if you're just getting started.
Yes. Yeah. I would agree with that. And that simple is best. Like, there's no need to overcomplicate. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things that we like about all-in-one platforms. So you might've heard that before. There's things called all-in-one platforms. There's a few favorites out there that really simplify. So you don't have to integrate a whole bunch of different technologies and softwares and platforms. It can all just work together in one cohesive thing. And so let's talk a little bit about our favorites, because now we know how we can pick and choose our to what we're looking for when we're picking our tech stack. But let's give them a little bit of guidance, because it's still a little overwhelming. So what do we go with as a team, and what do we use the most? And we've used a lot of platforms between all the different clients that we work with. So we have experience in all the different things. So which one is our favorite? Let's see. Who wants to talk about our favorite all-in-one?
Go for it, Lindsay. Go for it. You're in there all the time. So you do the thing.
I feel strongly about my favorite all-in-one. So I will talk about my favorite all-in-one. My favorite all-in-one is Kartra. And that's because I feel like Kartra really, like, does everything pretty well. And I know that lots of people think like, oh, it's an all-in-one, they can't really do everything well. And Kartra really, in my opinion, is the best at doing all the things pretty well. Now, it can feel a little clunky and like you have to kind of like find your way around. But once you know the way that the platform works, it's really user-friendly. It does a great job with like email management, tagging, segmentation, your sequencing, all of your page design is there. And you can get a pretty decent page design coming out of a Kartra. Kind of, it is plug and play and lots of templates, but there are lots of options and variety. And I feel like you get really decent page design coming out of Kartra as well. So I feel like it does everything pretty well, which maybe isn't the case for all of the all-in-one platforms. I feel like lots of all-in-one platforms tend to like lean really good in one direction. Like they do something really well, but then the other features might be lacking. And so I feel like Kartra is kind of pretty solid across the board.
I feel like the email with Kartra is what makes it a little bit better than some of its competitors, that we don't really want to use the email software in some of the other ones just because it's not as reliable. But Kartra, we do use.
Yeah. I definitely think that their email capabilities are superior to some of the other all-in-one platforms, and that's kind of what sets them apart. And again, you can host your course there, all of your pages, all of your forms, you can connect it to, you know, your Stripe so people can check out. They really can do everything in Kartra except attend a webinar. That's the only feature that it doesn't have. So you still need a webinar software to go along with that one. But it integrates with all of the things really nicely, and it provides just a really streamlined experience, in my opinion.
And all of these softwares have learning curves anyway. So Kartra might be a little clunky. You might have to learn where all of the different pieces are. But fortunately, a lot of these platforms have large help sections. And the other thing I wanted to mention about this, just based on the clients that I've talked to, is people hesitate with all-in-ones because of the price. But something to look at as you're trying to piece all of these pieces together is that the pricing, once you add it all up, can be really comparable to an all-in-one. So if you know that you're working with something that can do all of the things and you can save some money on having the platforms in separate places, it might come out to a little bit of a wash, or the all-in-one might just be a little bit more, but we'll save the headache of trying to connect the platforms.
Yeah, you also have less things to connect, which means less tech issues or less hiccups, or having the constant communication between all of the different things.
Yeah. Learning that one piece and learning that it like already, like your forms already integrate with your pages, and you just have to kind of figure out how those each individual pieces work. Like the time and the tech headaches you can save with that, I think is worth maybe paying a little bit extra if it comes out to that. But I agree, like we've compared pricing between adding all of these kind of singular products together in the price of an all-in-one. And it's usually pretty comparable, especially if you're starting with like the lowest plan, which is usually what you need if you're just getting started. You can start small and grow bigger. So
So that's Kartra, KARTRA.com, if you haven't checked it out yet.
For all the note takers. Yes, write it down. Make sure you get it. It can be confusing. I know when I first heard of Kartra, I was like, is that spelled correctly? But it is. It is, friends.
Yeah. Who made that up? What name is that? But now we say it all the time. I'm used to it.
So we mentioned that Kartra is our favorite, but there's one piece that is missing, and that is the webinar capabilities. So Brianna, can you talk about what our favorite webinar platform is to fill in that gap?
Yes. So believe it or not, if you've seen all of the webinar fancy software on the web, you might not expect this pick, but we use Zoom or recommend Zoom for most of our webinars. And number one, going back to the whole simple is best thing, Zoom is so user-friendly now these days. So many people have used Zoom before that using it for a webinar doesn't feel like a massive stretch, even as they're doing it for the first time. And it has all of the capabilities you need, whether you're doing an intimate small group and you actually want to see participants. Some clients who have had really small intentional webinars have decided to, you know, do that. Or you can do an actual webinar where the participants are just in the chat and watching your presentation, and it covers all your bases. So at the end of the day, we will most likely pick Zoom.
Yeah, I'm currently working in one of those other webinar softwares for a client, and I just wish I was back in Zoom. Like, I know that a lot of these other programs like Demio or Webinar Jam, like they have, you should be able to track things a little bit more. You get bigger, better insights into, but the way we've been able to set up Zoom for our own launches and for our clients' launches, I feel like I'm able to track those metrics just as well. Yeah, it's totally a matter of preference of what you want to do, but Zoom's my favorite, 100%. It's just simple.
Zoom will track those people. Like you said, you can grab the list of attendees. You can grab the list of registrants if you're using Zoom directly for registration, or you'll most likely be using your email software. Either way, you'll have access to that data. And there are other platforms like Webinar Jam and Demio and things like that, that let people pick, you know, times or actually let you use it for evergreen, which you may not need until later. So again, we recommend Zoom at least for your first time. Get that under your belt. And then, you know, you can always sign up for free trials of other webinar software in case you want to get in and see what it's like on the side of the broadcaster to really see what it looks like. And then you can compare, is it really worth it for me to try this more techie software, or does Zoom really get it all done?
Awesome. Let's see what's next. Okay. So if we're choosing not to go with an all-in-one, say we don't like that idea, we want to try and keep things simple or separate, what's a good page software, like where we want our sales pages and our webinar registration pages and our lead magnet pages and all the different pages, thank you pages. Gosh, what other pages do we need? Often a lot of pages. Where do we want to store them all? That's a great software. What's our favorite?
Yeah, I think that this one can get people really like tangled because there are so many different kinds of like anywhere. I mean, so many different options when you're out there looking. And we really enjoy using lead pages. It's just super simple, super user-friendly, integrates with so many different things, and is a really affordable option when you're first getting started, especially. You know, if you might have a website that's on WordPress or that you have a something somewhere, and that doesn't necessarily mean that that's where all of your pages has to go. Lead pages makes kind of a great supplemental thing. If you don't want to, you know, rope your designer back in or don't have a designer, are just getting started, it's a great kind of entry level supplemental thing.
I love the point you made about it being separate too, because that's important for people to distinguish. Your website and your launch pages can actually live. Your launch can have its own space and your website can have its own space. So even if you don't have a website, you can have a launch with a sales page and a registration page, and that's all you need, because that's really what about sections are for and what the copy is on the page, so people can learn about what you're doing without you having an exterior website.
Yes, great point.
Okay. Next on the list, we're just jamming through them. What is our favorite? Let's see. I will ask Brianna this question. We're just going back and forth and bouncing back and forth. Email marketing software. What's our favorite? If we're not using the all-in-one software. Or sometimes we use, even if we have an all-in-one, we still prefer to integrate it and use a different email service provider as well.
I think that comes up a lot when people have like started their list somewhere and then decide they want to launch a course and come to us and are like, oh, this is the platform that I want to use, but their list already lives somewhere else. And that's totally fine to keep your list in that platform and use something else for your course, even if that course software includes email. Sometimes it can be like more beneficial to keep your email separate and not try to migrate everything into your all at once.
Yeah, migrating is a whole extra project in itself. So if you're happy with the email software that you're using and you decide to add on another course software or some other software that takes care of email, don't feel like you have to move everything over. We have people who come to us and, you know, still get an all-in-one, but don't use the email component. Because for example, we love ConvertKit and ActiveCampaign. Those are two softwares that we use often. They're very robust. They have all of the tags, automations, sequences, and they even have some page features too, some light page features if you need that, which is super awesome. But some other softwares like an all-in-one like Kajabi, for example, they include email features, but they're not as strong as these email focused platforms. So some of our clients will use an all-in-one, but get an extra email software that's really robust, really strong, so that they can have all of their tracking automations lined up really well for their launch. But either way, ConvertKit and ActiveCampaign are our main recommendations.
And those two tend to integrate with a lot of the other programs really well. You know, I think that's key in figuring out if your platforms work well together. And every time we seem to have good luck with ActiveCampaign and ConvertKit really working well. Even a lot of programs have the integration built right in. You just can connect them. So you don't have to use an external software like Zapier to add it in. I feel like, am I right in saying that?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of them do integrate directly with those platforms. And even when they don't, just connecting them through Zapier or something like that is super, it's super easy. They're all there and integrated and do everything that you need to do through those integrations. I know sometimes when you're like using that bridge to connect platforms, you can be limited on kind of some features, but when you're using Zapier, it connects and does everything that you need it to do.
Yeah. And for anyone who doesn't know, Zapier is a platform just focused on connections. It doesn't do anything on its own except connect other softwares to each other in an exterior way. You can tell Zapier, this is exactly what I want this software to tell this other software, and Zapier will be the connector. So it helps when you're using not as popular a platform, but it is one extra step when it comes to setup. So that's the two things that you're really weighing against each other.
Thank you, Brianna, for explaining that. I should not have assumed that other people know what that is. This is why this episode is happening. So awesome.
I just want to make sure that all the people know the things. Plus, I mean, we'll probably make sure to include all of these in the show notes so that you can reference them as well.
Absolutely. Okay. So two more favorites left. Cart software. Explain. Let's see. Lindsay, you're next on the list. Bouncing back to you. I almost gave it away. Cart software, which is our favorite and how do we use it?
Okay. So cart software is basically where you put your checkout pages, what you connect to your Stripe account that lets people give you their money. And we love ThriveCart for this. They've got great checkout pages. Integrations are really simple and easy. And it's just a really great kind of platform that does everything that you need it to and more probably. So it's great at managing all of that. It manages subscriptions and all of those things once you integrate it with your payment processor. So if you have payment plans and things like that, it makes all of that super easy. Their analytics are also really great in terms of seeing, you know, purchases and tracking and all of the things. So we love ThriveCart. Brianna, what am I missing about that?
Well, I want to prepare people for the fact that ThriveCart is different from the others and that they don't have a subscription-based purchase plan. So almost all of the other things you pay $30, $50, $100 a month. So it helps you sort of manage your costs. But with ThriveCart, it's I believe it's like a $700 purchase upfront one time. So that will also help you determine, is it the right software for you? But many of our clients think about how many courses or how many seats do I have to sell to cover that? And then you're covered for life because you only pay once. So that's something else to think about.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great point that it's a one-time payment versus an ongoing subscription. So you pay once and you've got it. Don't have to worry about it anymore. So
mm-hmm. And they also have a PayPal credit option, I believe. I think you can pay for ThriveCart over time. So not through Cryostart is the Rive card. You pay for it over time via PayPal might be one of your options. But yeah, so overall, it's probably going to be one of your bigger expenses when you first purchase it.
Yeah. And that's something that can sometimes come with some of your other, like a checkout page or a checkout option is some of those that come with like your all-in-one. So it might not be that you have to purchase an exterior thing. But if you do, then that is a great option.
I was going to literally ask that question. So thank you, Lindsay. Appreciate that. The last favorite we want to highlight that you're probably all wondering about is what the heck do I put my course on? What is your favorite course delivery software? And we did talk about how Kartra is our favorite all-in-one. So that kind of fills that gap. But if you're looking for not an all-in-one, you just want a place to put your course materials. What's our favorite, ladies?
Spoiler alert. Okay, are you ready? Are you ready? Our favorite is that we have no favorite.
Boom, boom. We are not the course guild. We are the launch guild. So yes. I guess it's just not that important to us.
You can put your course anywhere you desire and it will be great. It will be great. There are so many options. There's Kajabi and Teachable and Thinkific, and even ThriveCart has a course option that will host your course. Like we've just kind of been looking into the ThriveCart option. Their learning management system is actually pretty solid. So the answer is it can go anywhere. It can go with wherever you're being called to host your course. That is the right answer.
We use so many of these. Yeah, exactly. What you were about to say, Kara. I'm reading your mind. They all do the same thing. We haven't seen a ton of differentiating factors between course software that tell us, oh, this one should definitely be the one.
I feel like what's it called where you can give rewards and things like that? Like there are some that allow
gamification.
Yeah. Yeah. Or there's another word, but I can't think of it either way. But I think there's some of those extra bells and whistles that honestly, most people don't even use anyway. So if you're feeling like you need to buy the top, whatever, just because that's what the big names use, don't feel like you have to do that because honestly, you're probably not going to use half of the features that you're paying for. So simple is better. Just go with your gut, do what you like.
Yeah. Focus on the content being solid, on your resources being really valuable, on supporting your clients and students. Focus on that piece. Pick a course platform that just gives you a container to put all of that, and then put your energy into showing up for your people, because that's really what's going to make the difference, not the people looking at your course platform being like, oh, this is so nice. I love the blue color and the purple buttons. That's not going to get them excited to buy your next thing or to tell people about your thing. It's really about the content.
Yeah. And with course software, I feel like that's one thing that as a course creator and content creator, you are going to be in like tweaking or making adjustments, or it's just something that you are going to maybe have your hands in more than maybe your other tools that you're going to outsource to a VA or a tech person or a designer. So making sure that it's something that you feel comfortable in and you feel comfortable navigating, I think is the most important piece. So try a free trial, go in, poke around. If you've taken a course somewhere and you really like the way that it's laid out and the way that it works and it just clicks with your brain, that is your answer. Because everybody kind of has a different style and a different way that they maneuver and navigate on all things web and tech. So find the one that works for you and go forward.
Are you ready to launch or relaunch your online course, membership, or coaching program soon and do it with a dream team of launch experts supporting you every step of the way?
At the Launch Guild, we offer full launch support packages, strategy intensives, and done-in-a-day services. And we're currently accepting client applications.
Launching doesn't have to be the bane of your existence. It can actually be fun and way less stressful if you have the right team by your side.
Head to thelaunchguild.com to book a complimentary consultation to learn how we can help you make 2022 your most profitable year yet.
If you are someone who is not launching for the first time, you've launched a couple of times and you're looking for things that will help with conversions or just an extra bell or whistle to make a difference in your launches, I think we've narrowed down a few software platforms and things that we really like and we've seen them work well in launches. They're useful. for very specific reasons. And so we wanted to highlight just a few of those. And I'm going to start because this is one of my favorite suggestions as a strategist to our clients, is to use a platform like BombBomb or Bonjourno. And the reason that I like these is because basically what they do is it allows you to send videos to your leads, to other people who maybe attended your webinars, or it just really allows you to connect with them on a new level. When people see your face and they get a video from you, it's a nice touch. It really is. And so oftentimes I'll say, download the people that attended your webinar and send them, or the people that were the most active during your webinar, really engaged in the chat, send them a special video. And these platforms do a great job in helping with that.
Yeah, I love that. I think that that is such an important piece for connecting with audience and really building that know, like, and trust factors when they can see your face show up, when they say your name in your inbox, and you know that they've taken the time out to reach out to you personally. And those tools make it so easy and take some of the time away, makes it a little bit more feasible for people to do that too. They're warmest leads for sure.
Yes. And if the video or the direct connection feels a little bit intimidating, just think about it. How would you talk to a friend about releasing a program? And you don't have to sell to them directly in that video, or doesn't feel like what you would do. You can also just say, thank you so much for attending my webinar. It was great to have you. I'd love to have you in my program. If you have any questions, please let me know. And thanks again, you know, just a quick video of your face, say their name. And that's such a great connection point.
Awesome. Now, the next one that we like, that's a little bit of a bell and whistle, but it adds some useful things. Lindsay, you said you really like this one. So I'm going to let you introduce it and share a little bit more about it.
Yeah. So the thing that I really like adding is Drift. And we've all seen Drift at some point. It's that little box that pops up in the lower right-hand corner of your screen that is like, ask me questions right here. And I love that because it captures people where they're at. So if they have questions about a webinar and they see that box on the webinar registration page, it gives them a chance to reach out and get an immediate answer. Same for your sales page. It allows them to click that, make connection with you where it's at, and ask their questions, get their questions out while they have them right there. They don't have to hop over to email, find an email address, send an email, do all of those things. It just lets them click, send, and go. The reason that I think that this is like an ad later is because you do have to have the capacity to manage that, to have somebody there that can answer questions, that can be responsive. And those tend to be something that needs to be answered in a more time-sensitive kind of space, especially during launch. You don't want it to be, you know, 48 hours before they get an answer, or even 24 hours before they get an answer, really like they would, you know, kind of the expectation would be with an email. So having the ability to be there, somebody that isn't you as the content creator and person in front of a launch, your attention needs to be focused somewhere else. So having somebody else that can help manage some of those, I think, is super important. But I love that one. So Drift is one. The other one that you see at the bottom of your page is usually on the left-hand side is Proof. And that's the one that hops up and is like, so-and-so enrolled in this course 4 hours ago. And that's a great tool as well. It can help kind of create some credibility that people see other people are signing up for it. The piece that you need to remember with that is you want to make sure that your offer is proven and that you have people signing up and buying. Otherwise, they see like one or two names circulating, and that can be a little, doesn't create the same level of credibility. So making sure that you're adding those tools in.
A bigger audience or more projected students and purchases, because otherwise it won't work. It won't have the same effect.
Said Brianna purchased 1 hour ago. Brianna purchased 1 hour ago.
Over and over. You're like, wow, a lot of Brianna's purchased this.
Yeah. It's very popular. My name is not Brianna. I cannot sign up.
Awesome. Cool. So we'll touch on just one more bell and whistle. And this is something that I really also like using. It's a program called Hotjar. This program is for sales pages or any pages to really analyze how people are viewing your page. So you can see how far people are scrolling down. You can see where people are stopping and spending most of their time. You'll literally get a recording of what you won't see who those people are. So if it feels like it's a little bit of a breach of security or whatever, privacy. It's not, I promise. But you can see a recording of where people went on your page, what they clicked on. You'll get a recording. I, as a strategist, I absolutely am a data and metrics geek. I love, love this tool. Yeah. And it's also free. That's a good highlight. So you can get a free version and it still does some great stuff, has some great capabilities. So you just add it onto your pages and you can see all of this amazing data to pull for how to optimize your page for next time. You guys have anything to add?
I love that. No, I would just say that if you're picking one to start with, that would probably be the one that I would suggest is Hotjar, because it's the one that gives you data and just, it gives you information without requiring you to do anything more. And I think that that's one of the key things of launching is like you launch, you get the data, you determine what needs to be fixed, and then you launch again. So it takes you that next step of like giving you more data to tell you what, you know, to tweak and refine for the next launch. So.
Yeah, it gives you that feedback you need to improve that you might not get otherwise. You get real users on your page. You're seeing where they're clicking, where they're not clicking, because if you have an issue or a problem, you're noticing a space where things are not where you want them to be. Hotjar is one of those tools that can tell you, oh, this button wasn't working and I didn't even know, but people are clicking on it. It's not working. Things like that is information that's really helpful.
Cool. So those are some of our extra bells and whistles that we love to suggest and use. And I want to emphasize again, I think we did touch on this a little bit as we went through each of them. But Brianna, I'd love to ask you this question. Why do beginning launchers not need all of this extra tech? Or why do we recommend for people who are launching their first time or they're new to it, not to add all of these extra things to the mix?
To be honest, there are several reasons, and I'm sure whatever I say, you all even have extra reasons why not everyone needs these at the beginning. Obviously, experience is huge, and getting used to these tech platforms, if you don't already work online, it just takes time and adds extra learning curve, which can make the whole launch process more difficult, slower, which is not what anyone wants. The other piece is it might not make a huge difference. So one of the phrases we use, and Lindsay might have remind me what it is, but it's that the squeeze isn't worth the juice, right?
Yeah, I always say it wrong. I always say the juice isn't worth the squeeze. And maybe I get confused.
It is that one of those. See, we don't even know how to say it, but I hope you know what we're trying to express.
It's about squeezing and juices and all of those things. So.
Yes. The point is that they may not be worth all the work that it may take you to put these pieces in place if you don't already have launches under your belt, or if you don't expect that large of an audience to come through. You don't need all the bells and whistles. If you're a more experienced launcher or you've started to build your audience things, then yes, start to add in pieces one by one. But that's why we say beginner launchers don't necessarily need these pieces. It will be tempting to have all the things perfect and high level, but it may be actually detrimental to your setup process and everything else. So that's why we advise against it.
One thing that that we see with our clients is that they come in, like in week one, you're very excited and you've seen all of these people doing all of these things and you want to do those too, because you think that that's part of launching. And it is, but the thing that you have to realize is that those people have done a bajillion launches and have teams that help them put together launches. And for your first launch, the most important thing that you can do is get everything up and running and then show up for your audience. So we like to tell you like to conserve your energy and focus on, you know, showing up and connecting and creating those experiences and those moments where your audience connects with you. And that takes energy that you really need to have focused for that purpose. And so adding some of these bells and whistles can detract from that. And overall, that's going to be what impacts your launch. So making sure you get your first launch, second launch, third launch under your belt before you look at adding in some of these things, have the data to know what pieces you need to add in, where things are lacking and what things are really going to be the most beneficial, and making sure that you're focusing your time and energy on those pieces as they're needed.
Yeah. Especially if you're doing your launch by yourself. I think you both have said it so well, but it can be a distraction to have to, if you're like Brianna said, if you're not experienced in this, then all of your time and energy and worries and nervousness is my tech going to work? Like that should not be the focus of your launch. And Lindsay touched on this too, is that the whole point of your launch, especially if it's a first or even second launch, it needs to be about just communicating why you've created this product, why this product is needed for your ideal client, why they need this thing, how it's going to change their life. If you focus on that, you're going to have a great launch. If you really focus on just the core of the purpose behind why you're launching this course and you're communicating it as much and to as many people as you possibly can, you're good. You don't need all those extra things. I mean, we have people that we work with who have 6-7-figure launches who don't include any of these bells and whistles because they're just not necessary. Even though you feel like you might need them, they're not needed to get the results. So focus on your audience, grow your audience, nurture your audience. We bring that up almost every episode because it's just so dang important. But focus on that. The tech is not going to be the thing that's going to make or break your launch. It's just not.
Yeah. And I think it's also important to remember that there's no wrong choice when it comes to setting things up. Like, figure out what works for you and roll with it. And if it doesn't work this time, then you can change it for next time. You are not married to any of the platforms that you choose. And the most important thing is to like continue moving forward and get the thing out there. So go with your gut.
Right. Just get back to those essentials. Make sure you have a way to tell people about the thing, a way for them to give you money, and a way to deliver what they purchase. If you do that and you focus, again, like Kara said, on showing up, on communicating about your product and about getting as many people into that room where you can communicate to them, that's all you need to push the launch forward, or at least to get those first few launches under your belt. And then as you start to grow or as you develop a team, then you can look intricacies, but the intricacies are not going to be what moves you forward in the beginning.
Yes. So before we wrap up today, we wanted to answer a couple of questions that were submitted through our hotline. So I'm going to start with a question submitted from Ryan, and he kind of gave us some context based on experiences that he's had with his last couple of launches. He was a little bit disappointed with the results, felt like he really put in a ton of energy and only ended up getting one student per launch signed up. This is it's kind of a two-part answer to his question. So the first thing we want to answer and address is he wanted to know, how do I make the most of my energy during a launch? And I think to start it off, I want to say that launches are hard. Like you're doing a lot of work during a launch. There's a lot of outreach. There's a lot of selling and engaging, and there is a lot. So don't feel like you can get through a launch without doing very little, or just like thinking that it's passive. Launching is not passive. It really isn't. But there are ways and tips that we want to suggest of ways you can really use your energy to the fullest and get the best results out of it. Lindsay, do you want to go?
Yeah, I think that there are some ways that you can definitely focus your energy. One of that being number of like webinar or event days that you're having. So don't feel like you have to have 4 webinars or that you have to do 5 days of a challenge. I think that these can vary widely based on your list. We usually recommend 2 webinars unless there's just a gigantic list size. But even for clients that come to us with 100,000 people on their list, the most webinars that we ever do is 4. So keeping that in mind and not trying to, add a bunch of webinars, you would rather have 100 people on 2 different webinars than 25 on 4. So condensing the number of sales events that you have, and then taking your energy to really focus on the warmest leads that are coming through. So the people that engage during your webinar, the people that have clicked to your sales page, the people that have sent you questions or interacted with you on social media, but really targeting that and finding ways that you can connect with them individually on a one-on-one level, whether that is taking 20 minutes and sending DMs to everybody that is interacting with you on social. And they don't have to be a sales pitch. They can be something as easy as, hey, saw that you've been engaging, or saw that you reached out, or love the comments that you left on this post. Wanted to let you know, if you have any questions about this course or about this program, feel free to send me a DM. I'm here and happy to answer them to you. So something as simple as that, or sending them a personalized video through, a service like BombBomb or Bonjouro to just say, I saw that you were on the webinar. Thanks so much for attending. If you have any questions about the program, I'd love to answer them for you. Hit reply. You can send, 10 or 15 of those out within an hour. And, it's a really good use of that time and energy. So focusing that energy on the people that have been the most connected, the most engaged, and the most interested is going to hopefully help drive up those conversion rates for you.
Awesome. So then leading into the next part of the question was kind of, why did he get the results that he got? And there's a couple, I mean, we don't know, we're not in his launch. We don't know kind of the different things. So some things to consider, we wanted to address that, which also leads into another question that we received through our hotline from Mary Catherine. She asked, what is a good conversion rate goal for email marketing and for live webinars? So I think those tie in really, really well. Brianna, do you want to talk about this a little bit?
Yes, let's dive in. So all of this is dependent on audience size. So smaller list size, your conversion rates might, you know, be really solid, even though it feels like you're not a lot of students. So we tell clients to estimate that 1-2% the full list is what you can expect to convert into your course, especially if you don't have any data yet or a lot of data yet. Use that as your, you know, your starting point. So if you have 100 people on your list, you get 1 or 2 people into your course, that's right on par from what we would expect. Now for your webinars, with the live attendees there, the people who have showed up, we'd want you to aim for a 5-8% conversion rate. So if you have 100 people on your webinar and 5 people buy from that webinar, you've done your job and you've done a great job. Now we have had clients going through their first launch and they have 10 people live on their first webinar. So if you get one person, you are still way on track. The thing is, the smaller your launches, the smaller your audiences, there is going to be more of that grassroots effort of connecting with people very directly. As we see these big gurus go through these giant launches, it really just doesn't make sense volume-wise for them to do one-on-one connecting in their sales process because it's just massive. And that's really the goal of a launch as you get to that later stage. But in the beginning, it comes back to just a regular sales process that has an educational point and then a connection point and then a part where people, you know, decide whether they want to purchase from you or not.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to add, just kind of adding to Ryan's point and Ryan's question and advice for people who are going through something similar, because a lot of people, you are not alone in feeling this way of like that you're not getting the results that you were hoping for. There are so many people out there launching their courses and their offers and they just feel disappointed. But the one thing to think about between your launches is critically important. The launch in and of itself is not just the end all. In order for your launch to be successful, you have to do the work in between them. And that being growing your list, start getting people interested in what you have to offer. And one way to do that is by having a lead magnet and an opt-in that really attracts people into your style of teaching and what you have to offer and helping them gain momentum towards their end goal and connecting with those people in your audience, growing that know, like, and trust factor between launches. Something Ryan said in his question was in his second launch, the person that ended up purchasing is someone he had been nurturing for a while. Yes, that's the key. That is the key to any launch. So people are more likely to buy when they know, like, and trust you. They've been following you for a while and they're into what you're saying. Those are the people that are most likely to buy. So that is the key. Like, you did everything right then. If that person bought from you, great job. So continue doing that and keep connecting with people in between launches. So when you do launch and you open your cart again, more people are ready to purchase.
Kara, I am so glad you said that because everyone who tells us that, oh, I had someone purchase, but I've been talking to him for a while. They've been in my following for a while. They always say it like it's a bad thing. They always yes. say like, oh, I failed because of this person that I've been in a relationship for a while purchased. And we think the total opposite. First of all, you've validated that your product is, you know, wanted, that someone wants to buy it. Second, you've officially been through a successful relationship of nurturing someone, connecting with someone, and then having them purchase. So now you just need to figure out, you need to look back on that relationship. What were the connection points? What did you talk to them about? What did you connect over? And see how you can spread that through your content, through your webinar, on your sales page. Take even from that one person, that one conversation, and see how you can, you know, grow and expand that to other people.
Awesome. Well, we hope, Ryan and Mary Catherine, we hope these were helpful answers to your questions. Please, if you have a question about your launch or about an upcoming launch, or you want to pick our brain about something, go to the hotline to be able to drop your question on there. You can also connect with us on Instagram. Go to @thelaunchguild. The handle for Instagram is @thelaunchguild. There's no .com. It's just @thelaunchguild. So connect with us there. We would love to engage with you and answer any of your questions. Until next time, see you soon.
Thanks so much for listening. Let's continue the conversation over on Instagram. You can find us on Instagram @thelaunchguild.
And if you like this episode, be sure to subscribe, share it with friends, and leave us a review. We greatly appreciate it.
Last but not least, if you're ready to take your launches to the next level and be supported by our team of launch experts this year, book your consultation today before spots fill up.
Until next time.